You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I want to remind you before we get started.
What's that sound you hear coming from the trenches? It's former Minnesota Viking offensive lineman Jeremiah Searles. It's time for the Tuesday morning left guard show on Purple Insider.
They're too strong, my dog. You're too strong.
Oh, welcome to another episode of Tuesday Morning Left Guard here on Purple Insider with former Minnesota Viking Jeremiah Searles. Jeremiah, I'm just waking up for my third nap of the day because West Coast time entirely screws up your entire life. So my body is messed up. My brain is like, what even time is it? We had the time change and then go to the West Coast. No one knows what's going on. But we are here and I'm excited to talk to you. So how are you?
I'm doing well. It's deer season here in Nebraska. So I spent about 30 hours in the tree last week and planning on another probably about 12 to 15 if I can't find my buck in the morning. So can't complain too much. Husker football's got a couple weeks left before we can wrap that dumpster fire of a season up and just keep pining along.
Now, did you, when you were playing, grind tape in the deer thing in the tree? Because Mike Zimmer said that he watches tape while he's up in the deer stand.
I can believe it. I mean, when I was playing, no, because my off days were just for sleep. Like, Zimmer doesn't need the physical recovery time for that the players did. But I've definitely, I mean, I'm watching tape right now when I'm in the stand. I'm working for the Husker game as I sit there and go through the Wisconsin tape and watch how their inside linebackers are just going to feast on us. But you know, yeah, I try and get some work done, send some emails, send some texts while you just kind of send a text, look around, send a text. Hope nothing deer, walks by.
No. Yeah.
Deer. Nah, another email.
Outside zone. Deer.
Exactly.
I mean, but you're not really football until you're watching tape in the deer stand, though. I think that's 100%. Like that puts you all the way up there. I was gonna ask you, there's a bunch of stuff I want to get to. I want to play a game called What's That Stat Mean? Trying to decide whether I should use a song for What That Stat Mean or something like that. But what is Mike Zimmer like when he's losing versus when he's winning? Because he was talking about just how miserable he is when he's losing. Mm. And then someone asked Kirk Cousins, oh, what's the difference or whatever? And he says, oh, I don't know. Or not. Maybe it wasn't Cousins. Maybe it was Eric Kendricks. Like, oh, I don't know. It's all the same. Like, is it though? Is it all the same? It's not all the same with us. But I wondered, just like, he was in such a better mood today. He answered the phone with Deion Sanders during the media call and put Deion on, you know, speakerphone and all that stuff. And it was just like, Mike, did you win yesterday? I couldn't tell.
I mean, Mike was the guy when you lost, like you came in the next day and you'd like look around the corner before you went to the lunchroom. Like in the old facility, you had to walk past all the coaches' offices to get to the lunchroom. And you'd literally like, okay, we're clear. Like you turn the corner, look down, be like, all right, go. And like, if you saw him come into like early morning breakfast and you were like the only one there and you're like, I'm gonna go down to my locker, just scarf your food at the locker like a rat. Cause you just didn't want to get, cause you knew he was going to talk to you about it. Like the dude just loves talking ball. Like that's all. Mike Zimmer loves talking ball, good, bad, or ugly. And I'll never forget, we were at the Christmas party in 2016 and like, I'm there with my wife and we're just hanging out and he comes up and sits down next to me. He's like, what were you doing on that one rep in 9-on-7? And I was like, what? He's like, that one rep in 9-on-7 today, that was just bad. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just, he just eat it. So like, you can imagine like a guy like that, that lives ball, like when it's not going well, his whole life is just in a spiral. And then when it does go well, like everything's like, oh, hunky dory, which is again, why I never want a coach. Like I've never met a coach that's just continuously happy all the time. Like they just live in these ups and downs and it's not healthy. It's not good for you.
I was just saying this to my wife after the game. It's like when you lose, you are 0-17. And when you win, you are 17-0 and they are fitting the rings. It's just like you won by 7 points, but you did everything right. Everyone was super smart. And we try not to be that way on this show, but it's so like when you watch TV or you read Twitter or anything else, just like all these young players they drafted all going to be stars after yesterday, just locks for superstardom. And when they lose, it's every single player had the worst game of all time. And we, like I said, we try to balance that out and we'll look at some stats. I'll give you my favorite Zimmer one. So on this Zoom call, I joked with Zimmer and asked him, like, who's your best person in your cell phone? Who's the most famous person in your cell phone? Which I want to know that from you as well. Because Sage Rosenfels has played that with me before. And I think it's Justin Timberlake is the most famous in his cell phone. That's pretty good pull.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, he said he played golf with Timberlake or something. I don't know. Who knows? Journeyman quarterbacks. But so I joked around with Zimmer a little bit and I got a few texts from people like, oh, you can joke around with Zimmer. And it reminded me that we used to be able to, and we would get him on the side sessions before COVID and all that sort of stuff. And to demonstrate Mike Zimmer's footballiness, I said to him once, hey, you know, on Madden, I never punt and it works out great for me. And he said, look, I don't play any of those video games like Game of Thrones.
I love that. That is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's the guy that he's going to be the Joe Pa. Like the day he stops coaching, like 1 week later, his brain has like no reason to go
it's
on.
A function.
Like, it's like, why am I not breaking down offenses right now? Like, why aren't we talking about coverages and blitz packages? Like, he just needs it. Like, it's just lifeblood for that guy.
Okay. Who's the most famous person in your phone?
Most famous guy on my phone's probably Post Malone.
How'd you get that one?
So I ended up meeting him through Marshmello, who's another DJ who's also in my phone. Meeting them at the Super Bowl party. I have a picture on my phone of me doing beer bongs with Post Malone behind the stage at the Preakness. And then he came and performed in Carolina when I was there. And I took the whole like Carolina team, like me, Cam Newton, Trey Turner, Chris McCaffrey. And we all were ripping a bunch of Bud Lights with Post Malone. So he's probably the most famous one on my phone.
That's good. I mean, that's pretty impressive because it's not just you got his number randomly, but you actually like hung out with him. He gave it to me.
Like we hung out multiple occasions.
That I would not have guessed that.
He's a strange human being.
I got that impression.
I'll tell you this. We were at Preakness 2018, I think it was. And we're talking. And all of a sudden I look over and it's Post Malone, Bill Belichick, Brett Bielema, and Bill Belichick's wife standing in a circle. And I was like, what could you four possibly be talking about?
Maybe like, Post Malone grinds the tape and we don't know.
His dad like owns part of the Cowboys.
Oh, really?
Dude, I'm telling you, he's such a fascinating individual.
This has gone in places that I didn't expect already.
We're seven minutes in, just coming in hot.
Okay, so I want to play this game with you about what's the stat mean. But first, I want to just get your overall thoughts on where they are now. They're 4-5. They, you know, are again like getting the Lombardi Trophy ready to bring it down Nicolet because that's how it feels this week, as if they turned a corner here with something. They've discovered something with their approach and in going to Jefferson more often, as they should have been doing, and we talked about that several weeks in a row. Give me the reasoned take on what it means to have beat the Los Angeles Chargers.
You know, I've watched the Chargers from the beginning part of the year. I was like, holy cow, like Chargers are gonna make an AFC championship run. Like they were just clicking on all cylinders. But I think it goes to show you that when you get more tape on Herbert, the smart defensive coordinators are figuring out how to stop him. And you eliminate his big threat ability with Mike Williams going down the field. You make him go 80 on you. He's gonna make a mistake. Like he's proven to either not throw an interception or take a bad sack, or like you make him, especially young quarterbacks, go distance on you. And so watching that game plan, I thought that Zimmer called a really good defensive game. Like I thought defensively, probably the best defensive game he's called this year, and just the mixing up of coverages, the mixing up of blitz packages, sending guys from all over the place where they never really got a beat on it. They never really understood. And then obviously they got the takeaways, which really helps too. And then you flip it over onto offense, And that's a pretty good front. I mean, they got our guy Linville up there who, and they had some success, but what I loved is we really stuck to what was working for us in the running game. Like we didn't try and get cute. We didn't try and do too much. We just, hey, this lining up in the I formation, this running the split zone lead, it's working for us. Let's keep going. And hey, we run play action off the exact same set. It looks exactly the same and things are open. And I thought that they simplified some of the game plan, but I also think that they executed the game plan really well. And there's a reason to be happy. I think it's the most complete game that the Vikings have played this year. I mean, right. In all phases.
Yeah, I agree with that. That if it had looked like a fluky type of thing, a bounce here, bounce there, whatever, a blocked field goal, something random, you would have kind of gone like, I don't know. But they earned the win. They outplayed the Chargers. They outcoached the Chargers. Yep. Their playmakers and superstars made plays. Kendricks with the interception, Jefferson with the big catches, Adam Thielen with the big catch at the end, Dalvin Cook with the big run, and Kirk Cousins made a number of very, very, very good throws in this game. And the offensive line struggled a bit, which we'll get into, and the defense, it wasn't like anyone had this unbelievable performance, but it was more of an all-together type of thing where they executed what Zimmer was asking them to do. And then I think you just saw an example of one coach is better than the other. And it's amazing to me how often that we are willing to, as Denny Green once said, crown them. When it comes to anybody young and cute looking who comes out in front of the media and gives the slightest analytical sounding take, and that these people who cover the NFL, oh my gosh, Brandon Staley is just the best. Can you believe how forward thinking and everything else? I even had the reporter on the show last week. He's a great guest, really smart guy, great writer. And he was talking about like, oh yeah, they're very forward thinking, everything else. They didn't look like it in this game. And got just thoroughly outcoached. And this is what you often see happen with Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins the same way, that if a defense is not sharp, he'll take advantage. And Mike Zimmer, if an offense or a quarterback has a weakness, he's going to find it. And I thought that, and not only that, but his clock management and decision-making was just better than Brandon Staley, and you can win football games that way.
I mean, I think sometimes these, I mean, what was it, 2 years ago, where it's like anyone that shook hands with McVay was getting a head coaching job?
Yes.
Yeah, like it almost seems like sometimes these young cats come in and feel like we have to reinvent the wheel. And it happens in college too. Like it's happening in Nebraska right now. It's like, dude, just run what you've always run. Like you try and out-cute yourself and you out-scheme yourself when, if you look at what the most efficient run for the Minnesota Vikings was, it was literally just inside zone, cut the backside. Like, and Dalvin Cook would press it front side. The linebacker would start to overrun over the top. He'd put his foot in the ground and he'd come back as the tight end kicked out the defensive end. 6 yards, 8 yards, 6 yards, 8 yards, break the long one. Right. And I think that when you talk about the old school coaches, they understand that a little bit more. And it's almost like these new era coaches feel like they have to be forward thinking and they have to be trendy because that's what they got hired for.
Yes.
And that's just really not the case. I mean, football is football. Like you can call it a million different things, but at the end of the day, it's all still the same concepts. It's the same route combinations, the same run combinations. How you window dress it doesn't always necessarily make it better.
And this is a point that I'll continue to make about Mike Zimmer, that I think the people who want a coaching change have a very reasonable argument. And there have been times throughout this year that he's seemed a little bit behind and not as sharp when it comes to decision-making. He got outcoached the week before by John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh's team didn't play as well as his team, and the Ravens came out with a win because I thought that Harbaugh made the better decisions in part was one of the reasons that they won. Does he hold back the offense with philosophy and stuff like that? All those things, underachieving over the last 4 years as a whole since 2017, all those things are fair. But then there are games like this where you go, but the man can coach football. And there are a lot of people that they think, oh, this guy, he's going to take us to the next level. Mm. You know, you're Joe Judge, you're Matt Patricia, you're whatever, whatever, that don't always change the franchise the way people think. Now, that's not to say that they don't, because Sean McDermott did in Buffalo. But man, they were crowning Brandon Staley earlier this year as if he was just the best thing that has ever happened to the NFL. And I thought it was like, all right, there does need to be a little brake pumping after a really well-coached game there.
And the other piece too is these old head coaches know how to watch a young coach and see what he's doing wrong. And they're not going to publicly come out and say it, right? Like, Mike Zimmer's not going to be like, oh, here's what Staley's doing, and I know how I'm going to beat it. Mm-hmm. Like, he knows that. He knows, like, okay, this coach hasn't been through the ringer like I have. He hasn't seen all the things that I've seen, and I come through. And it's the argument the grass is always greener, right? Like, everyone, it's the same with the quarterback. And as much as we whine about Cousins sometimes, like, we could be stuck with Joe Flacco, right? I mean, how terrible did he look yesterday? And you kind of look at it like, as much as sometimes we want Kirk to be better, and we talked about on the show last week in depth, like, he is who he is, he's better than a lot of the other guys in the league at times. And I think that it's okay to be critical of coaches and say, hey, yeah, we need to be better there. But you got to look around the league and go, where does he rank? Like, I think Zimmer's top 15, top 10, maybe cracking the top 10 of coaches in the NFL when he's on his best. Like, when he's at his best, and maybe when he's at his worst, he's at 16, 17, but it's not like Freddie Kitchens bad, right? Like, it's not like, hey, he's 32 and he's also 32 at his good and his best. Like, and I think that that's something we have to keep in mind as we watch these Vikings football games. And I made the argument, if you recall, I wanted to keep him if I got to keep out of the three of Spielman, Kirk, mm-hmm. and Zimmer. I argued Zimmer.
Yes. I got emails. Some, but I have agreed with you on this opinion. Okay, so let me get to some of these interesting stats, because some of them pertain to Kirk Cousins. And really interesting that yesterday the theme was aggression, and there were some big plays that were aggressive. But Sam actually pointed this out to me, and I guess it sort of went, oh yeah, I guess that's right. There were only three passes over 20 yards in that game. It was that two of them hit, and they were big plays. And there was another one that went 18 that was a really great throw by Cousins as well. And so here's the first stat I want you to work with, is there is one quarterback in the NFL who has a lower average depth of target, so how far down the football field he's hucking it. And that is Jared Goff, is the only one who's throwing shorter passes on average than Kirk Cousins. And he has one of the highest PFF grades, but those things are tied together. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not taking the risks, you're not going to have the negative plays.
Right.
And so my question is for you about this statistic is, do we think that anything will change going forward in terms of this aggressiveness that Zimmer is pushing, if the bigger sample on this season is he has been as conservative with the football as Jared Goff?
My argument for that would be, I think that the weapons that he has are better than Jared Goff. Meaning a 10-yard slant route to Justin Jefferson that goes for 18 is more of something I'd want more of than Jared Goff throwing it to who knows, right? Like, who knows? Right. At least they're keeping it in the division. But I do think that the more the run game starts to come alive, the deeper those shots, again, we've talked about that, the offensive line is not built to protect for the deep shot.
Yeah.
The deep shots have to come off of the play action. They have to come out of the move the pockets. They have to come out of the max protect three-man routes type of things. And so I do think with the explosiveness that we showed this last week with Jefferson, with Thielen, getting those guys, it's going to cause teams to have to back off a little bit on the back end. Safeties aren't going to be able to sit at 9 or 10. They're going to have to stay at 12 to 14 because of Jefferson and Thielen, if we continue this route, which then allows to open up the run game. And I think the more the run game gets opened up, the deeper the shots will come. But the problem is, I don't know how we answer it when the run game gets stopped.
Yeah.
And that is where you'll run into the issues of, I don't think we will keep throwing it down the field if we aren't running the football. Then you see the dink and dunks to CJ Ham. You see the dink and dunks to Conklin. And that becomes the run game, essentially. And that's where that completion thing really starts to come down, because that essentially turns into the run game.
Sam Ekstrom here, wondering if you're stuck on your company's injury report. In an unfortunate situation like that, it's good to have someone in your corner. That's where Kemet, Sanford, and Kramer Law can help you understand your rights under Minnesota's workers' compensation laws. There's enough uncertainty in our lives nowadays that the last thing you want is to feel helpless if you wind up in a bad situation after a workplace injury. Kemet, Sanford, and Kramer will fight for you if there's been a wrongfully denied work comp claim, so you can get the benefits you deserve. If your claim's been accepted, they help with rehabilitation disputes, medical disputes, help you get a second opinion, and ensure you're getting all the benefits you're entitled to on an accepted claim. Kemet, Sanford, and Kramer will provide you with dedicated and experienced disability attorneys that have secured their clients tens of millions of dollars. Our good friends Mike, Pat, and Evan will handle all that messy legalese to and from the insurance company about your claim while you focus on what's important, your recovery. And there's no cost involved for reaching out to Kemet Sanford and Kramer. In fact, you don't pay a dime unless they successfully obtain your benefits. You get paid, then they get paid. It's that simple. The website is yourminnesotaworkcomplawyer.com, where you can find a phone number to get a free consultation. This is an attorney advertisement from Kemet Sanford and Kramer, yourminnesotaworkcomplawyer.com.
Folks, Minnesota football is rolling along, and there's no need to exhaust yourself looking all over the internet to find Minnesota football tickets anymore. That's because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need for your go-to for all NFL tickets. TickPick got rid of those awful service fees that the other sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best price on all of their NFL tickets. Don't believe it. If you could find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference on the purchase price. We've got some very exciting primetime games, and our friends to the east in Green Bay will be making their way to Minnesota soon as well. So you want to go to TickPick.com/insider to save $10 on your first order for Minnesota football tickets. Again, TickPick.com/insider to save $10 on your first order of Minnesota football tickets.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I thought that they did run consistently, even if it wasn't breaking off big plays, that they were getting positive yards with their rushing against the Chargers. And it's just always been this way with Cousins, where everything connects to that. And when it's not working, it's really not working. And when the run game is, then there's that option there. Even in the game against Carolina in the second half, Dalvin breaks off a few big plays. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden those linebackers get antsy and they start flying forward and then losing everybody. They're not Eric Kendricks who can robot around and go back. They're like, huh, what, who's playing? And you see that all the time. But if they're not afraid of that run, they just play differently. And that's what we end up seeing. But I guess I'm skeptical of whether all of a sudden we start getting a bunch of deep shots to Justin Jefferson, which I think Zimmer wants those. But we saw it even yesterday where the pressure rate goes up, even just a little increase. And this is to your point, a little increase in trying to push it downfield. And all of a sudden he's pressured 42% of the time, as mm-hmm. opposed to 30 for the rest of the season when they haven't been doing that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is you see the flaws in the NFL, especially up front, get exposed when that quarterback has to hold the ball for 2.5 seconds. I mean, if you don't have solid offensive linemen up there, I mean, the average throw time is 2 and 2 seconds. That extra half a second, that extra, all of that really is what shows guys that are really good and not good. And when you got some guys up front, and Mason Cole, average, Oli Udo, below average, probably
Udo, but
Udo,
yes.
I always do that. Udo,
mostly Doe after yesterday, like and then Homer Simpson,
O'Neal, yeah, O'Neal, elite. I think you could put an elite to above average. Mm-hmm. And then you go on the left side and you've got Ezra Cleveland, average to below average. And then rookie and Darisaw, who I think is going to be very good. But still, again, I don't anoint rookies kings until we need to, like I did with Jefferson. He's on the blue meter for me right now. But you watch these guys and you go, okay, if we want more deep shots, you have to protect. And I just don't think, I mean, Chargers front is good, don't get me wrong, but I think we'll still face better fronts this year than that team.
So I'm trying to figure out where Darisaw is in the pass blocking grades, because
I don't know if he has one yet. Does he? You have to play like four games to get like a true grade, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got a little bit of a sample here. Probably enough to at least get like a small snapshot of it. I'll keep
I guarantee this. I guarantee you it's better than Rashad Hill's.
Oh, yes. Rashad Hill was one of the five worst the entire league.
Right.
So we did get a couple of penalties by Connor Williams that put him ahead of Ole Udo in leading the league in penalties. So congratulations to Connor Williams. Ole Udo is now second. Tell me what this means that Ole Udo, well, I'll add this on too. Ole Udo is second in the league in penalties. And Mason Cole has not been that bad at center. And when Mike Zimmer was asked about the possibility of finding a way to keep Cole on the field, hint, hint, move him over to right guard, he said it's something we're talking about. So is that a good idea? And what does that stat mean?
You know, I think that stat means that your job's been put on notice. I think when you're costing your team yards and you're costing your team's drives, because when you get a penalty, whether it be a holding, a false start, any of those are drive killers, right? Those are what they call staying off schedule. You get off schedule, and the Vikings have proven that when they get off schedule, they have a really hard time overcoming those and getting back on schedule of second and seven, third and three, and living that. And so if you're looking, say, hey, we're losing these close games, we're losing these one possession games, like what could be the difference? Well, it could be that one drive in the second quarter that no one's really thinking about because right guard got a holding penalty and we had to punt, right? And so those are the hidden yardage piece that when you talk about trying a new piece there, like really don't think it would make that big of a difference or could make all the difference in the world, but I don't think it's going to be any detriment. So for me, with how well Mason Cole is playing, and I'm not saying he's out there, I'm not saying that he's the next Alex Mack, but I am saying yeah. that I do think he's serviceable. But it's the same thing that we said this last year too, like Brett Jones. Like I thought yep. Brett Jones was serviceable, and I thought he was playing better at times than Dakota Dozier and 100% Drew Samia, but they like didn't want to put him out there. And I don't know if that was Dennison thing or I don't know whose deal that was, but I do think that this year I'm hoping they learn from that. And like, okay, let's truly get the best five out there, best five group. And I do think Mason Cole's the last few weeks have played himself into a possibility with that. But again, center to guard, it's different. It's a different animal out there when you're blocking a three technique in space and pass protection. So we'll have to get a sample size of that before we can say that he is better than Ole Udo.
So Darisaw has a 56 overall pass blocking grade, which is not particularly good. However, has only allowed six total pressures, which tells me that even when he's getting beat, he's not getting beat for big negative plays, which is similar to Brian O'Neill in his first season, where Brian O'Neill had a pretty poor PFF grade, but wasn't giving up sacks or QB hits. And people were saying, well, where's the difference? The difference is recovery. If you could figure out a way to get beat, get pushed back, and find a way to keep that guy away from the quarterback, that's a good foundation to work with, I think, for Darisaw in the future. But he did have a holding penalty that was pretty rough. And yeah, I thought a kind of a tough day. But you're getting your usual sort of ups and downs from him.
Right. But I do think he shows, like you said, there's flashes of really, really brilliance. I mean, flashes of dude hits him with his hands, comes inside, redirects really well. And then he tries to spin out and he comes back. And so for me, you see that and you're like, okay, he just needs more experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep having to remind myself, dude didn't play at all, like zero preseason, zero training camp. Like this is his true test at the NFL for the first time, and it's in live bullets action with backs against the wall type Minnesota Vikings football. And to watch him in the run game and to watch him especially in the pass game be out there on an island against some really good rushers, Joey Bosa, and to be able to, like you said, recover. And I think one of the things that people think is it doesn't always look pretty with Darisaw. Like mm-hmm. he's hopping, he might have his hands all over the place, but he's not getting beat quick. It's not the quick misses. And Rashad Hill and even like the guys myself, I was a guy that a lot of times were like, well, it's a quick miss guy, which means like you throw your hands, TJ Clemmings, and you get knocked down and he's around the edge in a second and a half, right? Like I haven't seen that out of Darisaw, and he's really strong up top. So when he hits people with his hands, they gut off their track, they get out of the way. So I'm really excited about watching him grow through the rest of this year and really excited for his second year because, man, you get O'Neal and you get Darisaw, you got two really good tackles to start kind of really rebuilding that offensive line from the inside out now.
All right. Next stats for what's the stat mean? Didn't come up with a theme song. Maybe it should be like a metal theme song. What's this stat mean? Let's see. the Vikings, according to the website 538, have what's this number? Have a 42% chance.
Okay, sorry. 42%.
42%. That's their playoff odds right now. Do you think that is accurate? Should be higher? Should be lower? And by the way, as we say this, San Francisco, we're recording this on Monday night, is leading LA to the point where I'm confident San Francisco is going to win that game. So it's that might change a little. That might lower the number a little with San Francisco getting this win. But do you think that that's a good place for this? Too low, too high?
I think it's basically right on right now. And the reason I say that is because we have to show consistently that we can play like we did on Sunday in order for that number to go up. I think right now, it's like we said at the beginning, what is this team's record? It's like, well, it's 8-9 or 9-8 or it's somewhere in there, right? And sometimes those teams can sneak into a wild card. Sometimes they can't, depending on the year. And so it's kind of a coin flip, right? And I think with us being below 500 now and having to dig ourselves out of a hole and still having to play Green Bay and still having to play some of these talented teams, that I think that's a good solid number for us.
I think so too. And it's really not about the strength of the teams for me. It's about the number of teams. So when you go through, so San Francisco now has 4 wins. They have the same record as the Vikings. We have Carolina's 5-5, then the Vikings 4-5, the Falcons 4-5, the Eagles 4-5, now San Francisco 4-5. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams with 3 wins. If any of those teams gets to play the Texans or something, or plays each other, then you lose no matter what, because they're playing each other. And this is the hard thing about trying to come from behind. Even though, you know, I'm not confident that the Panthers are a good team or anything, I don't know what their schedule is like going forward, but the same goes for the Saints. Like, well, yeah, the Saints could dip back, but what if, I mean, San Francisco was supposed to be a great team. What if they get hot here? What if the Eagles start get it together and Jalen Hurts plays better all
He's
of a sudden?
Terrible.
I know you're not a fan, He's and that's terrible. And that's fair, but they do have a really good offensive line.
Yes.
And they have a really good defensive line. And when you have those things, you can win some football games. So that number, I think, is right because of how tough it is. If they beat the Packers, though, I think that is a little bit of a different story. Okay, let me give you one more. What's that stat mean? Cameron Bynum is the highest graded Vikings player by PFF over the last 2 weeks. He got a sack. He held his own in this last game, and now 166 snaps in 2 games. Welcome to the NFL, kid. You've played a lot of football. There have been 5 throws his way for 24 total yards. He's got an interception, a pass breakup, a sack. This kid, by the way, he's one where on the first introductory interview you do with him in the media, you're like, oh, and I compared him to Anthony Harris because it just felt like a very similar type of person, very cerebral, understands defense at the NFL level as a rookie, which you don't see very often, understands technique, understands tendencies. Like, these are things that you just, that's just don't happen. So what do you think it means if Cameron Bynum is good for the future of the Vikings safety situation?
You know, I think it's really great when you have a young rising star like that, but I'm curious, how much has Harry had in a role in that? Right. Like, sometimes when you see rookies that emerge like that, you kind of have to look at the room and go, where's he getting mentored from? Like, obviously when he came in, he had a great knowledge, but there's somewhere in that jump. But I think if you can put him up there now, and I mean, how often have we talked about, oh, Harry's on the trade block, right? Like, I mean, is that a real thing now if you're talking about cap casualties? And I don't want it to, trust me, I'm the first one that I don't want the hitman out of Minnesota. I don't think anyone does, but again, we talk about how they just keep kicking the can down the road for money, and they keep kicking, and eventually someone's going to call that loan back, and he might happen to be one of those guys. I mean, even though he's the highest paid safety in the league, they might look to move him around.
Folks, have you ever thought about taking a bike to work but figure it's too far or that the hills are too steep? Or heck, who wants to show up to work covered in sweat? Well, that's why you need to check out the electric cruiser bike from my friends at Boogie Bikes. The Boogie Bike gives you all the experience of saving gas, getting outside, and feeling the wind through your hair. Say if you have a haircut like that Green Bay quarterback. But you don't have to be an Olympic cyclist in order to get all those benefits. The Boogie Bike has a strong yet quiet motor, sensitive pedal assist, and a very comfortable seat for you to cruise along for miles and miles. Don't settle for a low quality bike. The Boogie Bike is built in Wisconsin using its highest quality parts from around the world. And honestly, it looks cool and goes fast. Go to boogiebikes.com, get yourself an electric bike today, and use the promo code SKOL, S-K-O-L, to get $250 off your purchase and a nice basket as well. By the way, there is no risk. Within the first 15 days, you can try a Boogie Bike, and Boogie Bikes have an industry-leading 5-year warranty as well. Again, go to boogiebikes.com, check them out today. Folks, football season is in full swing, but we've got basketball and hockey getting rolling as well, and SodaStick has got you covered. You have to see the Moose t-shirt designs for Marcus Foligno. You can also get your hands on the very popular Dollar Bill Kirill shirts as well. On the basketball side, the design with three wolves howling at the moon, perfect for the spooky fall season, and the design with the wolf carved into the state of Minnesota is just awesome. It's very cool stuff. And hey, for you college football fans, check out the Tanner Morgan t-shirts as well. SodaStick has tons of hats and hoodies with all their great designs on them. You will love it. Go to SodaStick.com. That is SotaStick. Check that out today. Use the promo code PURPLEINSIDER for free shipping. And also follow myself and SodaStick on Twitter for our giveaways.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, I think it also could mean, because of the extension for Harrison Smith, it also could mean that Xavier Woods gets a bigger offer to go somewhere else, and they say, thanks for your service for this 1 year, and now you're going to go play for the Jaguars for $11 million a year.
How much did he sign? Did he sign a 3-year deal, Xavier Woods?
Or was it just a one?
Just a 1 year? Okay. And for whatever reason, I thought that was a multi-year deal.
That one is worked out. So Tomlinson, I believe, was the only multi-year deal that they signed.
Okay.
And that one with Xavier Woods has worked out extremely well. They mm-hmm. haven't always, as you know, Rashad Breeland, but some of them have. And and the Xavier Woods certainly has. So I want you to tell me one thing before we do Love to See It, Hate to See It. You played in the very first game, or at least you were there. I don't know if you were active or got on the field, but for the very first game at US Bank Stadium with the Packers, 2016.
When Sam Bradford came in slinging that thing.
Yes, his first game. And there's a funny story behind that. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to tell it or not. Let's just say that Zimmer was really upset with us for reporting that Sam Bradford was going to start. And
I remember that.
And then Mike McCarthy got on the call with us and we were like, so, you know, what do you think about this? They're not announcing their starting quarterback. He goes, yeah, it's going to be Sam Bradford. We're like, what are you mad at us for? Be mad at Mike McCarthy for already knowing. So yeah, that was funny. That was like my second week on the job. So the first week Teddy got hurt. And then the second week Zimmer was really upset at us for reporting that. So,
well, I mean, everyone watched Sean Hill get wheelchaired out there against Tennessee and was like, oh yeah, Bradford's for sure playing. I mean, dude, he came off the sideline. He pulled his calf, like running 5 yards for a first down. We're like,
remember that run?
He was like, oh, he's like, pulled my calf. I was like, oh my gosh, you're like my dad. Like, you're like my 40-year-old dad running around out here. Like, there was no, obviously Bradford was going to start. Like, it wasn't a secret. It was the worst kept secret in the NFL.
Yeah. So this is also just, you know, some flooding back memories, but I remember reading an article by someone I've had on the show who is really smart and really good, but this take was not great. When they made the trade for Bradford, the reason that this person did not like it was they said that Sean Hill had a higher quarterback rating for his career than Bradford. And I was like, Sean Hill will die on the field. Like, if he attempted to play 16 NFL games, he will not survive it.
No chance.
No chance.
No chance, dude. Like, he's a three game max guy. Like, three games, get me out of here. My check still clears. I can't do this anymore.
Gonna go watch Paw Patrol with my children. One of my favorite Sean Hill things was the throw that he made to Diggs in that game was unbelievable. Like, it was just this incredible dime. And it was like, football is so weird. And, you know, you have all these quarterbacks who are like 6'5 and run 4.4s, and they're just like Adonises. And here's Sean Hill, like you said, he's your dad. He smokes cigarettes or whatever. Yeah. And he's just like, he throws the ball stupid. And then he just is like, let's see, I'm playing this game where I'm throwing all to running back checkdowns. And then here's an unbelievable dime. Like, I'm an NFL quarterback, everyone.
Well, I mean, if you recall, the Titans, our Vikings defense scored more points than the Vikings offense that day. Like, that was so bad. That was such a shit show. Oh, sorry.
You're fine.
That one was so bad. So bad.
It's a tough watch. Yeah. Ugh. Thanks, Marcus Mariota, for the screen pass to Eric Kendricks. Yeah. Otherwise, they win that game. But 100%. That one pass, go look it up. Go find the tape when you're in the deer stand. Yeah. That one pass to Diggs down the sideline is freaking amazing.
It was unbelievable.
Like, okay, old man quarterback, Steve DeBergs of the world.
Love it.
So I don't even know if there was a point to that. Oh, I actually wanted you to tell me what it was like, that game, the opener, because that was really incredible to beat Aaron Rodgers. Zimmer's defense was amazing that night. Sam Bradford came through the first touchdown to Kyle Rudolph, the throw to Diggs off of play action. I mean, it was really something to be in that building that night.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember how the juice, I mean, everyone was so excited. We were coming out playing that college stadium in TCF, and our last game there was the heartbreaker to Seattle, and like to get into like what felt like our own place, like to get in and the idea of like defend your home turf, defend home field advantage. And that place is seriously one of the loudest NFL stadiums I've been in. Like, some of the new ones might rival that, but when I was in the NFL, like when we played in Minneapolis and we heard the Purple Army going, like, there's nowhere that gets that loud inside. Maybe I never played in the dome, but it felt like a college atmosphere to me. And not a lot of NFL places feel like that. A lot of NFL kind of feel like sit on your hands and drink your coffee. And like, but like that place gets rowdy. The fans get rowdy, and going out there and getting that first win just kind of really set the tone for what that place was going to be. And I think that getting that first win helped that culture of what it can actually be, because the fans played a huge role in that. I mean, there's a couple delayed games in there. There was them. Anytime Rodgers would try and check, like, he's trying to run around and the place is just erupting and the fire. There's no fire anymore, right? The fire's still out, or did we bring the fire back?
Oh, yeah. That's a whole thing. No, they're trying everything to make it look cool, but no, Tennessee. Dude,
Tennessee blew it.
Something caught on fire in Tennessee. I think it was a speaker.
Yeah.
And they banned all pyrotechnics, which is ridiculous.
Dude, when that dragon,
no one's allowed to cross the road because one guy got hit.
Yeah. That dragon that would breathe fire was sick. Out of the. So, but anyways, that place is awesome. I love that place. US Bank Stadium was amazing. It's still one of my favorite NFL places ever.
Yeah, that night, I had never heard anything that loud in the entire time covering sports. Mm-hmm. Just that simple, like where you're like ear bleeding. So let's just do a quick love to see it, hate to see it. We might be on the same team with love to see it, because PJ Walker got a win as the starting quarterback for Carolina. I followed his career in the XFL. I'm telling you, PJ Walker can play. I know that they're going to play Newton when he's fully ready to get in there. But PJ Walker is a decent NFL quarterback who have a long career. And I love when that happens. I love when there's an XFL guy and you're watching and you're like, this guy's actually good. He went 5-0 in the XFL, was the best player in the league. And now he gets a chance. And it's not like he played an amazing game, but he came in, got a win against the Cardinals. So good for you, PJ Walker. Why they traded for Sam Darnold when they had PJ Walker, I don't know.
Hey, PJ Walker out there killing it. My love to see it is for sure watching that kick from Detroit and just how terrible, and just watching the faces. Like, at this point, I kind of want them just to keep losing, because you just watch it and you're like, man, it can't get any worse. Like, it's not a hate to see it. Like, you don't really hate to see it, because it's one of those things, like the train wreck you can't look away from. Like, you're, oh my gosh, that train's gonna hit that person. Like, you just stare it down until it hits the person. Like, watching that Steelers Lions game, you were just like, this is amazing. Like, just Mason Rudolph versus Jared Goff, and just how terrible that game was. Like, I loved watching that game because I was just laughing the entire time.
I just wanted to know what we did to deserve that. I mean, that was just shameful. Like, how is this? I mean, every year, isn't it funny how every year at the start of the season, we're like, man, like 28 teams got good quarterbacks. Yeah. Halfway through, you're like, who's playing anymore? 16-16 so in bad. The fifth quarter.
Dude, you're running a 2-yard out route to get a 2-yard closer field goal and you fumble. You just fumble the football at 8 seconds left. How about Najee Harris? I didn't know we could tie. Who doesn't know you can still tie in the NFL? I don't care if you're a rookie or not. Like, there's been enough of them over the last few years. Like, do you live under a rock? Like, did Nick Saban not allow you to watch college, like pro football? Like, nothing but Alabama football when you're here? Like, come on, you gotta be better than that.
Yeah, you do hate to see that.
That's bad, dude. That's just bad, bad, bad optics.
Okay, I'll offer one more just real quick. Okay. Is you love to see when you just don't know in the AFC who's going to win anything. Mm. Like, I like that. I mean, there are 12 teams that are 500 or better in the AFC. I think it's fun. I think that for so long, it was like Peyton Manning, Roethlisberger, Tom Brady for our entire lives in the AFC. And now you're like, and then it was Mahomes. And so you just knew who was going to be there, and all the other teams didn't matter. Sorry, Chad Pennington, your Jets and your Dolphins don't matter here. And now it's everyone has a chance. It's fun.
I'll do one more quick love to see it. Mac Jones just killing it. Just absolutely killing it up there with old Billy B and just having his way and being playing damn near perfect football. I mean, he's not out there lighting up for 400 yards, but he's just delivering touchdowns, strikes, not turning the ball over and playing just really good football.
He is the most comfortable NFL quarterback coming from college that I can remember in recent years.
Facts.
And that one, I'm not doing the thing because during the draft, I said, maybe the Vikings should have just taken him because he's there and he's a first round quarterback. And a lot of people overestimate their ability to analyze quarterbacks going from college to NFL. I think it's impossible. You can only know if the guy has NFL talent, but you can't know if it's going to work. And sometimes it's the fifth drafted quarterback who's the best one, like Lamar Jackson. So
Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Fourth round.
Smack my mic. But if you want one, you take one, and it's unusual that it's past the first round that they work out. So you just take the guy. And you don't overestimate your own ability to figure out if he's going to be good or not. So it wasn't that I watched him in Alabama and I said, oh, you know, that 3-step drop, he's really mastered it. It's just like, I don't know. And times where I've tried to know and done like a ton of research, I came up with Josh Rosen.
Good job.
I'm more right good by job. Going, I don't know.
My hate to see it. I'm going to dip into college football here. Mm. Oklahoma, Texas, man, you make this big announcement that you're going to the SEC and you're going to go shock the world down there. You hide Sarkisian and you just get pooped on by Kansas and Baylor. I mean, Kansas and Baylor, boys. Yeah. I mean, that's like Kansas's first road win since like NOM, right? Like they haven't won on the road since NOM, and they go in to beat Texas. And then you got Baylor, who's just rubbing it in Oklahoma's face. And now you have all the Oklahomans that are like, well, this might be okay, because now we'll get to avenge ourselves in the Big 12 and we'll still make the playoff. No, you're out. You're done.
Yeah.
See you, Norman. Goodbye.
Well, I'll just go all love to see it's here to wrap this up. Just to counter that point, Lance Leipold, I covered him in Buffalo. The guy knows what he's doing. I mean, Buffalo was an atrocity of a program. I mean, so bad. And then like they had Khalil Mack on their football team, actual Khalil Mack, the real person. And they couldn't win anything. And he's on their team. He's like throwing Mac players two at a time away and sacking the quarterback and getting fumbles and interception, everything else. And they still couldn't win football games before Lance Leipold totally turned them around, made them one of the best teams in the Mac consistently. And so I'm not surprised that Kansas got a little fight in them.
Dude, he almost beat Ohio State single-handedly. Like that first half of a Buffalo Ohio State was like, you watched it, you're like, yep, first round, probably first overall pick. Like this legendary dude is single-handedly beating an entire football team right now.
I was working in that game and I was like, who is this? Like what?
Yeah.
The Hulk has showed up at this game. Like did one of Ohio State's players secede?
Incredible.
All right. Great stuff as always. Tuesday morning, Left Guard. We do it every week and I'm looking forward to it after Green Bay. Jeremiah, you enjoy your deer stand and grind some tape in there. And we will talk again soon, sir.
Nice plan. Skull.